Welcome to another chapter of Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast, where we give you a deeper look into your favorite Christian authors and the inspirations, research, and methodology that goes into writing the books you love to read. Here's your host, Jamie Vaughn.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jamie Vaughn with Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast, brought to you by Revell, a division of Baker Publishing Group. On today's episode of the Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast, I have Shelley Shepherd Gray, and she's going to talk to us about her new book called Her Heart's Desire. Hi, Shelley. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, Jamie. Thank you so much for hosting me today. I'm thrilled about this. It's so fun.
Well, good. Well, we're excited to have you on today, and I am excited to hear all about Her Heart's Desire. So what can you tell me about the book without giving away too much?
You know, two things that I think ring true about this book, and that it's the first book in a trilogy. Okay. It's all about a bunch of Amish girls who are known as Wallflowers, and it all takes place in Pinecraft, which is an Amish community right in the central part of Sarasota. Mm-hmm. And it's like a spring break place, a place for Amish snowbirds. So these girls are on a trip and all kinds of events happen.
Well, I grew up in Florida. I know about snowbirds. I don't think I've ever met an Amish snowbird.
Well, you know, it was funny. Like the reason I wrote my first Pinecraft novel was I was sitting in my Amish friend's kitchen, mm-hmm. and her daughter, who's in her 30s, came in, and it was February. And I remember this because I'm in jeans and boots and a sweater. Okay. And she has a tan. And I'm like, wait a minute, where did you get this tan? And she goes, oh, we just got back from spring break. And that was a total aha moment. Like, I didn't know the Amish took their kids to Florida on spring break. Anyway, we got to talking. She told me all about Pinecraft, all about the Pioneer Trails buses that everyone travels down from Ohio and to go. And I just thought, I need to get there one day. Yeah. And so I think I've since been there about 6 or 7 times.
It's I didn't realize it was real.
Oh, absolutely. It's real. No. And it's real small. You know, if you're traveling to Sarasota for whatever reason, if you don't know where to look, you probably don't even know it exists. But if you do, there's Amish everywhere. Oh, and it's a lovely place. I'm very, very fond of it.
Oh, nice. So I'm going to have to go check that out. I'm in Nashville, and we have a community, a fairly big community, about an hour outside. And we always go in the fall and stock up on jellies and jams and candles. And in the summer, you go over for fresh vegetables and stuff like that. So I love my interactions with the Amish community. So I didn't realize there was one that far south. So I'm going to actually have to get down there and see it.
Oh, sure. If for nowhere else, there's a neat restaurant there called Yoder's. Everyone goes, everyone stands in line, and you'll get to have some pie out in 2023.
Wow.
I'm a voracious reader myself, mm-hmm. and there's nothing worse than getting attached to some characters and being so excited for the next book. And I've done this. I'll go on Amazon to see when the next book comes out. And I'm like, wait a minute, I have to wait a year.
Yeah.
The next book in this series comes out in June.
Okay.
And it finishes up in November. So if people are invested in these girls that meet on a bus and kind of find themselves in the middle of Florida, I hope they'll look for the other books.
So how are they all interconnected?
You know, what I have is, as I've said before, that a lot of people take this bus down to Florida. Mm-hmm. It makes several stops in the Midwest. People get on and it probably travels about 16 hours to get to Pinecraft. So Her Heart's Desire opens with these three girls are stuck in a hotel room outside of Atlanta. There's an ice storm. They are put in a room together and they start talking like strangers do.
Right.
And they realize that they are all about the same age. They're in their late 20s. And for whatever reason, they kind of didn't catch on in their communities. And what sometimes people forget, they think about when they think about the Amish is, is just what a close society it is, not just to outsiders, but, you know, everybody knows everyone else and they know everyone else from birth. So say you're a gal like Mary Margaret and you kind of do something stupid when you're 12.
Yeah.
Nobody lets you forget it, right? There is no feeding into the middle school or the high school or getting to move away or people come in. And so she always felt kind of tainted by a mistake that happened. And she finds out that the other girls had different situation, but felt just as confined in their communities. It's not that they don't want to be Amish, not that they don't love their family and friends. They're eager for a fresh start. Kind of like if you were English, maybe you moved to a new town to go to college or start a new job. Well, these girls decide to go on a month-long vacation to Florida just to get to know some people that don't know their whole history, just to get to know the person they are today, not the person they used to be. And that resonated with me. I feel like anyone, whether you're Amish or not, boy or girl, whatever age, you can identify with that. So that's kind of was my hook. For the whole why I started the series. But yeah, that's how these girls meet. They, by the end of the first chapter, when they're going to sleep in this kind of grubby hotel room, they all decide, you know what, it'd be great if we met somebody and fell in love. But even if we don't, if we just become best friends, that is wonderful. That would be a great thing. So that is really what connects all three books together, is they collect friends and they just keep getting stronger and stronger. And they not only meet people who they want to know, but they learn things about themselves and realize just that they had almost underappreciated themselves. So it was a joy to write these books. I started just really feeling like these girls, they meant something to me and I wanted to do a good job by them.
Yeah. Well, you know, refinding yourself and reintroducing yourself to yourself sometimes is really important in your story. So I love that you were able to capture that in this book. What kind of research did you do for it?
You know, like I said, I've been to Pinecraft many times, and I think that would probably be the most important part of the research for this, because it's just such a different locale. I usually write Amish books set in Ohio. I live in Northern Ohio. I'm just an hour's side away from Holmes County, where I've based so many books.
Okay.
But I wanted Pinecraft to feel almost like another character. I wanted people to think, if they live in South Dakota or wherever, and they know they'll never get to go, I want them to feel like I've been there. And it's kind of easy to do because there's not a lot there, but everything that you do see is very specific and it leads charm. So there was a lot of research I did. One thing that I will mention, the very first time I got to go to Pinecraft, I was telling my Amish friend, Clara, that I was fixing to go. And she said, I'm going to be there the same time you are. So she ended up taking me and my husband on a tour of all the places. And there's Amish from all over the world there.
Yeah.
And so she introduced me to people, which if I hadn't been with her, they wouldn't have given me the time of day. I mean, they would have been very kind,
right?
But we would have had no reason to talk. Mm-hmm. But she told them all, she's like, this is my friend Shelley. She's a writer. And, you know, she's here doing research. And so they would tell me stories. And that was just really beneficial, not for this whole series.
Mm-hmm. So what can you tell me about Mary Margaret and what she discovers about herself?
You know, I really feel like she discovers her identity, and she learns to be really proud of who she is. One thing that had happened is, like I had mentioned, she kind of makes a mistake when she's 12, and some Amish girls kind of bully her all the way through. Maybe not hateful bullying, but they never let her forget it. Mm-hmm. And because of that, she kind of felt like she was less than everyone else. Like, gosh, you know, she just would spend her nights thinking, if I just hadn't done that, my life would be so much better. Well, you know, you always think as a writer, what's the worst thing that could happen midway through to poor Mary Margaret? And that's her arch enemy, Esther, comes down to Pinecraft. And she's like, oh no, the person I've been meaning to get away from for just a month of my life is now here. So that leads a whole nother depth to the story that Mary Margaret learns a lot about herself, that not, maybe it wasn't just Esther who had been giving herself a hard time and not letting her prosper. It was actually herself. So she refines herself. She refines her faith. She meets a great guy. And anytime they have some problems, it has nothing to do with her past. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just the way they're communicating. Mm-hmm. Seems they both have a couple of secrets that they maybe should have told each other a little earlier than they do. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of Mary in a nutshell. It kind of a fun fact is I loved her name, but when I was writing it, it was a mouthful. Every time I would be like, Mary Margaret, Mary Margaret. And my editor was like, we got to cut down that Margaret. Let's just call her Mary throughout most of the book. So in my head, she's still Mary Margaret. But if a person's reading the book, they'll be like real close with her because she's going to just be, they're going to be on first name terms just to Mary.
Well, I will tell you down here in the South, most Marys have a middle name that they go by as well. So you got Mary Margaret, Mary Catherine, you know, all of that. So I would have not even thought anything about saying and reading Mary Margaret.
Right. Well, I'm from Houston. So maybe that's it. Maybe when you hear all those double names, it's fun when you're in person, when you're typing it, you're just like, my goodness, this is a lot of Mary Margarets.
Yeah. In fact, we had a conversation about that recently. I had an intern in my office who it was a Mary, and everybody was really confused because it was two names. And I'm like, no, down here, we all have two names. So
just go with it.
Yeah. I don't think anything of it when I hear a Mary Margaret. I'm very, very used to that. So Shelley, when somebody finishes the last word in the book and they close it, what do you want them to take away from it?
You know, I guess selfishly, I want them to be anxious to pick up the next book in the series. But beyond that, I write books for my readers, and I write books. I hope that they'll feel like, if it's a book in Pinecraft or not, a little vacation. I just want them to enjoy it. I want them to be glad they picked it up, whether it's at the library or at the bookstore. And then they spend 3 hours or 4 hours of their time. And I want them to close it and be just like, Shelley, that was a good book. I'm glad I took a chance on this. And so that's really... It sounds simplistic, but that's really my whole goal is I write a book hoping that I end the chapters well, that they're going to want to turn into the next page, and that I try to give them an ending that they'll be pleased with, that they'll be like, you know what, this whole world with Mary Margaret's good. Let's see what's going to happen with her best friend, Betsy, you know?
Yeah.
So those are my expectations.
Wow. That's exciting. So next one is June, and remind me again when the third one comes out.
And the third one comes out in November, and it's Lily's story. So I hope people will be curious enough to give them a try. I think they might be pleasantly surprised. And at the very least, they're going to learn a whole lot about different kinds of pies you can get at Yoder. So there is that. It'll be great.
Well, Shelley, thank you so much for spending some time with us today at Family Fiction. Everyone go out to your local Christian bookstore or wherever you buy books and get Her Heart's Desire. It's out now. And make sure to mark your calendars for June and November for the finishing of the series.
Thank you so much. What a pleasure to be here.
Good. Thank you so much. We were very happy to come and hear all about Mary Margaret.
Thanks for listening to Family Fiction's Christian Fiction Bookshelf Podcast. Stay up to date on all things Christian fiction at familyfiction.com. Christian Fiction Bookshelf is produced by Ross Kluver, hosted by Jamie Vaughn, and edited by Brandon Woolham. Subscribe today wherever you listen to podcasts so you'll never miss a chapter.